you listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we are studying Hebrews chapter 7. The Apostle Paul is an excellent teacher. He has the salvation of the Jewish Christians and the early Christians and their well-being in mind as he teaches. He is trying to help them understand the difference between the Jewish law, the high priest, and Jesus. We will always find that Paul preaches Jesus. The Jewish Christians were the ones that had the most difficulty because they were in the Jewish law and the Jewish ritual. And they are in an entirely new world, and Paul is trying to help them understand the high priest. Paul was both critical and encouraging. He wanted his Jewish audience to know that they should be further along in their understanding of spiritual issues. They should be teaching, but are in danger of having a sluggish Christian walk. And he was urging them to grow and to move beyond their stagnant spiritual state. Paul wants his audience, both the believing and the non-believing Jews, to understand the priesthood of Jesus, an eternal priesthood. The Jewish law required that a Levite of the tribe of Levi must be the high priest. In the Old Testament, the 12 sons of Jacob were given land. With the exception of the son Levi, who was given the priesthood instead of land. And so under the Jewish law, only a Levi could be a priest. Moses was a Levite, and his brother Aaron was a Levite. Jesus was not in the line of the Levites. He was in the line of one of Jacob's other sons, Judah. And so Paul is going to address these scholars of the Jewish law to explain how that Jesus is entitled to be a high priest. He is going to say it is through the order of Melchizedek. And so these Jewish believers are going to have to understand that Jesus, even though he was not of the tribe of Levi, he was a superior high priest. Paul is going to prove that he is a superior high priest by using an example from Genesis 14 of a high priest who lived before the Levite priesthood, who lived before Moses, who lived before the law, and who lived before the tribes of Israel. He is using the example of Melchizedek, who was Abraham's priest in Genesis 14. Melchizedek was a model to the Hebrew nation 2,000 years before Jesus Christ was born. Paul is saying that Jesus' lineage or order came from Melchizedek and not from the line of Levi. A very important point to make to these Jewish Christians. Now you might ask, well, why are we talking so much about the early Jewish Christians? What does that have to do with me today? It has everything to do with you today, because God spoke through the Jews. The things that He gave to the Jews are not to be ignored. They are to be expounded upon and understood. Now, who is this Melchizedek? He was a king and a priest who ruled over Jerusalem, called Salem at the time. If you notice, the last part of the word Jerusalem is Salem. He was king of Salem. We know when the Lord returns, He is going to be the literal earthly kingdom of Jerusalem. he will again be the king of Salem or Jerusalem. There are theories about who Melchizedek was. His name is a combination of the words king and righteousness. Some believe he was an angelic being. Some believe he was the pre-incarnate Christ. And some believe that he is Shem, Noah's third son. He's only mentioned three times in Scripture, in Genesis 14, 18 through 20, Psalms 110 and 4, and Hebrews chapter 5 to 7. We can speculate that the city of Salem was founded by Melchizedek after the language of man was confused at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, 1 through 9. He was a priest of the Most High, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. However, before Abraham, the God of the Bible could have been called the God of Noah, Shem, and Melchizedek. The worship of the true God did not begin with Abraham. It began with Melchizedek, as far as the record we know. And before Abraham, individuals such as Abel, Seth, and Enoch all knew and had a relationship with the true God. Noah, in fact, served as a priest to God, offering a sacrifice after the ark had landed. That's in Genesis 8, 20 through 22. Noah was the priest to his children after the flood. That's in Genesis 8, 20 through 22. Both Noah and Melchizedek were of the righteous seed of Adam, who were modeled after Abel and Seth, the two righteous sons. So Melchizedek is a priest model for Christ who would come to redeem all of mankind. Now the name of God most often used in the Old Testament is Yahweh or Jehovah. The word Lord in the Scriptures is written as Yahweh in the Old Testament Hebrew, but seen as Lord in the translation to prevent the reader from taking God's name in vain. The ancient Jews had such respect for God's name that they would not even say his name. They would say Lord instead. God is also known by the name El Elyon, or Most High God. This represents the most universal name for God as opposed to Yahweh. Yahweh means I am that I am, which was revealed to Moses at Mount Sinai. So Melchizedek has a universal priesthood compared to Aaron, whose priesthood was limited only to the house of Israel, while Melchizedek was evident to the known world at that time. There is a reference to Melchizedek in the Dead Sea Scrolls that were found in 1956 in the Qumran Cave number 11. There were 13 fragments of a first century manuscript found. These Dead Sea Scrolls were left in the caves around 1 A.D., about the time that Jesus was born. Manuscripts are probably much older than that and refer to ancient people, and so it's a very valuable find of the Dead Sea Scrolls and gives us an insight into Melchizedek. And the text is a prophecy built on the concept of the Jubilee year, which you can read about in Leviticus 25. It's every 50 years was a Jubilee year. So this priesthood of Melchizedek is tied in to the Jubilee year, which is great freedom, a year of great freedom. And we know that Jesus Christ has liberated us from our sins, and those who are in Christ are free and free indeed. A few students of this Dead Sea Scrolls literature identifies Melchizedek of the scripture part that they quote is 11QMELCH is the name of that book or fragment, as an earthly person who met Abraham in Genesis 14 and whose likeness will be reproduced in the coming Messiah. Melchizedek was an actual person who was a king of Salem. He had a direct relationship with God, as Enoch probably had. Enoch was translated. He never died. He went right straight to heaven. But Melchizedek lived and died. Jesus, still alive, eternal, and who sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, is a more superior priesthood than even Melchizedek, because he ever lives and reigns. When Abraham met Melchizedek, he had defeated the kings of Babylon, which were Elam, Shinar, Eleazar, who had earlier defeated the kings of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and Zoar. And one of these kings of Babylon took Abraham's nephew Lot and his possessions. Abraham and his 318 servants pursued and defeated the eastern Babylonian kings. Abraham recovered Lot and his family and all the possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah. You can read about this in the chapters before Genesis 14. Both the king of Salem, who is Melchizedek, and the king of Sodom met Abraham on his return from the battlefield. The king of Sodom offered to let Abraham keep all the possessions that he had won in the battle, but he only wanted the people returned to Sodom. But Abraham refused his offer of the spoil of the battle. The reason that he refused it is he said that they would boast that they made Abraham rich by giving him the spoils of the battle. And he did not want any credit to be given for his riches other than God. So Abraham refused to allow this king of Sodom to bless him with the spoil. The reason was because he knew that God's glory was at stake. Abraham cared more for the glory of God than for the spoils and the riches of the treasure of the Babylonian kings and what they had won from their enemies. Scripture says that Abraham, after the slaughter of these four kings of Babylon, returned to Mount Moriah, Jerusalem, to offer a tithe of his possession to Melchizedek, king of Salem. Salem was a neighboring city-state to Sodom. That's a contrast between righteousness and wickedness. He knew his sacrifice must be taken to Jerusalem, to the high priest there, Melchizedek, and not to the king of Sodom. When Abraham took his offering of 10% tithe, tithe means 10%, to Melchizedek, then Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Now the 10% that Abraham offered was of those spoils. He did ask Sodom to pay tithes on what they got back. Abraham took the tithes from the king of Sodom in the spoils. So you might say the king of Sodom paid the tithes, but it was really Abraham's tithes. He had rights to all those recovered goods, but he kept none of them except the 10% that he was going to give to Melchizedek. Melchizedek's name also means king of righteousness. Righteousness is a characteristic of the Messiah. He is a king, according to Scripture, who will bring righteousness to the earth. The Messiah is known as the King of Righteousness. Psalms 45 and 6 says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Isaiah 11, 4 and 5. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Isaiah 59:16-17 says, He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor, no high priest. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and he was clad with zeal as a cloak. He's describing a high priest. He's describing a king. He's describing the Messiah. He is describing the Lord Jesus himself. Jeremiah 23:5-6 says, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Melchizedek's name also means peace. He was king of peace, type of the Messiah. Melchizedek was like the Son of God. He was a type or a picture of the Messiah. Only a Levite, a descendant of Aaron, could be a member of the priesthood. But Melchizedek typified a priesthood outside and superior to the Levite's priesthood. How great was this man Melchizedek? The purpose that Melchizedek served was to prepare for the coming of Messiah. Messiah would be both priest and king, not to Israel only, but to the whole world. Melchizedek was a foreshadowing, a preparation for the coming of a greater priesthood and a greater promise. This is a point that's been made in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. The old covenant was merely pointing the way to the new covenant, which could only be fulfilled in a Messiah. We know that Melchizedek's priesthood was superior to Abraham. Not only did Abraham tithe to Melchizedek, but Melchizedek blessed him, indicating a spiritual superiority over Abraham. Abraham, to these Jewish Christians, meant the law. And they looked up to Abraham, and they looked up to Moses, they looked up to the Levite priest. But Paul is saying that Melchizedek was even greater than all of these, and he also says that Jesus is greater than Melchizedek. The reason he's the superior priest is because he is perfection. The law made nothing perfect. The priesthood of the Levites was not perfect. Many of the Levite priests that we read about in Ezekiel even worshiped the sun in the temple. They were wicked priests. They were not perfect, nor were they even following God. But in Jesus, we find a perfect priesthood. His priesthood is endless. It will last forever. The everlasting covenant of the priesthood of Christ is a better covenant involving eternal forgiveness from sins and not just the temporary forgiveness from year to year that were available in the Levite priesthood. The better covenant of the priesthood of Jesus is a better covenant because God swore that it would be. He took an oath. God guarantees that the Messiah's eternal priesthood after the order of Melchizedek is immutable and cannot be changed. The Messiah or Jesus' priesthood is a result of an oath that God made with His people, with you and with me. So we have a guarantee of a better covenant through the oath of God. Jesus' priesthood is perfect and He makes intercession for us. He is our advocate before the Father. He intercedes and prays on our behalf to the Father. In 1 John 2, 1 and 2, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. In Romans 8, 34, it says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. He died once, and His sacrifice is sufficient. Now let's read Hebrews 7 in the New Living Translation. Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. This Melchizedek was king of the city of Salem and also a priest of God Most High. When Abraham was returning home after winning a great battle against the kings, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. Then Abraham took a tenth of all he had captured in battle and he gave it to Melchizedek. The name Melchizedek means king of justice and king of Salem means king of peace. There is no record of his father or mother or any of his ancestors, no beginning or end to his life. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God. Consider then how great this Melchizedek was. Even Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel, recognized him by giving him a tenth of what he had taken in battle. Now the law of Moses required that the priests who are descendants of Levi must collect a tithe from the rest of the people of Israel, who are also descendants of Abraham. But Melchizedek, who was not a descendant of Levi, collected a tenth from Abraham. And Melchizedek placed a blessing upon Abraham, the one who had already received the promises of God. And without question, the person who has the power to give a blessing is greater than the one who is blessed. The priests who collect tithes are men who die. So Melchizedek is greater than they are, because we are told that he lives on. And in addition, we might even say that these Levites, the one who collect the tithe, paid a tithe to Melchizedek when their ancestor Abraham paid a tithe to him. For although Levi wasn't born yet, the seed from which he came was in Abraham's body when Melchizedek collected the tithe from him. So if the priesthood of Levi, on which the law was based, could have achieved the perfection God intended, why did God need to establish a different priesthood with a priest in the order of Melchizedek instead of the order of Levi and Aaron? And if the priesthood is changed, the law must also be changed to permit it. For the priest we are talking about belongs to a different tribe whose members have never served at the altar as priest. What I mean is, our Lord came from the tribe of Judah, and Moses never mentioned priests coming from that tribe. The title here is Jesus is like Melchizedek. This change has been made very clear since a different priest who is like Melchizedek has appeared. Jesus became a priest. not by meeting the physical requirement of belonging to the tribe of Levi, but by the power of a life that cannot be destroyed. And the psalmist pointed this out when he prophesied, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Yes, the old requirement about the priesthood was set aside because it was weak and useless. For the law never made anything perfect. But now we have a confidence and a better hope through which we draw near to God. This new system was established with a solemn oath. Aaron's descendants became priests without such an oath. But there was an oath regarding Jesus, for God said to him, "The Lord has taken an oath, and he will not break his vow. You are priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus is the one who guarantees this better covenant with God. There were many priests under the old system, for death prevented them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. He is the kind of high priest we need because he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. Unlike those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for their own sins first and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once for all when he offered himself as the sacrifice for the people's sins. The law appointed high priests who were limited by human weakness. But after the law was given, God appointed his son with an oath, and his son has been made the perfect high priest forever. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, we are so thankful that you have given us your son as our high priest. We're so thankful that he is perfect and that he is forever. And we're so thankful that he's pleasing unto you. We pray that you would help us draw nearer unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word. It's a heavenly place, and He's leading.